Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. And tonight we are in our third part of our series entitled Helping Others Become Financially Free. That is tonight's episode here on the PRF Table. The series that we're dealing with this month is a very simple one, but yet it's also so complicated. We're talking this month from the theme of freedom, family, and finances. Freedom, lowercase, family, uppercase, and finances, lowercase. So what that means to us here on the PRF Table is there's a connection between family and freedom. There's a connection between family and finances. If we can deal with the family, then we'll have less things to worry about when it comes to freedom. If we'll deal with the family, we'll have less things to worry about when it comes to finances. And so tonight on July the 20th, what we're talking about tonight, the conversation, hopefully it turns into a dialogue, is called Helping Others Become Financially Free. And we're going to do something just a little bit different here on the PRF Table this evening, as we turn the mic over to Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. Mama. That's what we call her here around the table. I just felt the Spirit of God just put it upon me to ask Mama just to pray for you. Those of you who are with us, those of you who may be listening live, those who may be listening on our Facebook page, PRF Ministry, those who may be just listening through the archive. This is, you know, a week later and you're listening to the show right now through our website, prfministry.org, or on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. We want to make sure that we're covering all the bases tonight. And so I turn it over to Mama to greet you as one of the other hosts of this show, and also to just take a moment just to pray for you and pray for your freedom, because, Mama, it is serious right now.
Yes.
If there ever was a time, it has been plenty other times, but I can't deal with any other times that we should have been free on certain things, but I can deal with the one right now. And so with all that said, I just want to turn it over to Mama and let Mama have her way in the spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, my PRF family. And Father God, I lift up my PRF family to you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, and thank and praise you, God, for us all having this opportunity one more time to come together, Father God. And I pray, Father God, also for the people that need to be free and the people that they know they need to be free, and for the people that they will receive freedom, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank and we praise you, God, for your word, Father God. We thank and we praise you, God, for Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, Father God, Jr., Father God, for him just continuing to carry out the vision that you have given him, Father God. And we thank you and we praise you for tonight, God. Just open up our understanding, God. We're going to receive the knowledge, God, and then we're going to receive the wisdom and above all understanding, and then we're going to apply it in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen. Well, listen, those of you who have been with us, you know, so far this month in July, we started off this series talking about the bondage of child support. And that was what we started off with in episode one. And then on last week, episode two, we challenged every adult, every pastor, every person who calls themselves a youth minister or a youth pastor, every adult, if you have children or whether you don't have children. And the challenge was, how long are you going to be pushing your young people out there into the world without being so unprepared about debt and other financial matters? So the title of last week's show was Financially Uneducated Young People. And again, for those who are just joining us, tonight we are talking about helping others become financially free. So in this episode, episode three, the challenge is, here's what we're challenging tonight, Mama. We are challenging every selfish, every ignorant, every bondage type of spirit that is opposed to the spirit and opposed to the word of God.
Amen.
One of the things that I know to be true is that financial freedom, Mama, has always been about community.
Yes.
always. God's word never talks about you as an individual being financially free. That's what man teaches.
Yes.
You need to be debt free. You need to be debt free. So if everybody's debt free, then there's some things that can't happen in, according to how God has put them inside of his word.
Yes.
That challenges somebody right there. But if you ever took one of, if you ever took the course that we offer called Credit and Debt Are First Cousins, then you will understand what I mean by that statement. So this thing is not about everybody individually being free. This is about community. And so the two things that I'll lift up two questions, and I want people who decide to call in tonight, if it touches your heart, I want you to think about this question or these two questions. How long will you let others suffer in silence? That's number one. Because I can tell you there are a lot of people, a lot of men and women, a lot of young people, a lot of older people, a lot of people in the church, a lot of them in the pulpit that are suffering in silence because they're in bondage to their finances. And then the other question is, how long will you suffer? See, I want you to be bold enough. I want you to get free tonight by being able to say, you know what, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage because I shop. I was with somebody, a young lady yesterday. Her issue was that she shops like crazy. So she shops like crazy, not because she doesn't make enough money in her job, but she wants the extra things. It's no problem if that's what you want to do, work extra job, but there has to be some purpose. Spending is only just you can get stuff. Then there's a breakdown in what how she understands possession, resources, and finances.
Right.
So, Mama, listen, we just want to open it up and want to give it to anybody who is listening. If you're listening and you want to join into this conversation, just press 1. We'll see you light up on the switchboard. It will bring you into the conversation at appropriate time. The other thing is, again, if you're listening online, if you're listening through Facebook, if you're listening through blogtalkradio.com, and you want us to hear your voice, we ask you, dial 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934. 7 minutes has gone by, and now here we go. So here's where we are. You know, if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that we always have a background story, something that has come up, which oftentimes leads us to a lot of the places where God has taken us. And as I think about what people are going through today, I'm baffled that we have so many resources in so many of our churches. We have so many resources within our family structures, but yet we have so many people that are in bondage. We have so many resources within this country, but yet so many people are within a place of bondage when it comes to financially. So it started me thinking on this, Mama, why is that? What the heck is going on? Why we see so much poverty? Why we see people who have resources being selfish? Why you have people that have health care are saying, to hell with everybody else. They don't need health care, but I got it, so I'm good. Why are we seeing that? Because God is allowing it. So hold on, Doc. Why in the world would God allow it? First of all, I can't say why God is allowing it because he has not revealed that to me, but I can surmise something by this. When God's people are disobedient to what God has placed in his word, then there comes a punishment. There comes a time when God says, enough is enough. There comes a time when God says, you know what? If y'all want to continue going that way, I'm going to let you go. We have plenty of examples throughout the Bible, throughout the Holy Writ, where God has just allowed the people of God, his chosen people particularly, to go the way that they wanted to go, have who they wanted to have in leadership, running the show. That's what you want, I'll let you have it. But here's where we are today. Those of us who truly desire freedom, we realize that this thing is not about us, Mama.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, financial freedom has always been about community. So that's the first thing we're going to break. We're going to break that spirit of individualism. Because if how you're going about your grind, your business, going working, striving after promotion, if all of that is just so you can be quote unquote free, you'd have missed it. Or maybe you never had it in the first place. Remember a couple of months ago when we were when we had Sister Renee on, and we were dealing with fasting for your finances.
Okay.
I'm gonna start there. I'm gonna start there. Remember in Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord talked about how the people were fasting.
Yes.
Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and at the end of verse 5, he says, "Do you really think this will please the Lord?" So all that you're doing, you think that you're doing it the right way. You think that you think you're good because people see how you fasted. But it just slapped us in the face last time, so let's slap us in the face again, Mama. He says, no, this is the kind of fasting that I want. He says, free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Stop. I'm going to stop right there. There's a whole bunch of people that are wrongly imprisoned financially because of some substandard teaching, because of some bad preaching, because not researching certain things for themselves, because people who had the authority was getting in front of people, giving only what they had, so they did it out of ignorance. But at the end of the day, it don't matter how the heck you got in prison, whether you did something or you didn't do anything. Two people sitting in prison, whether you did something or you didn't sit in prison, both of them jokers are in prison.
Right.
But God said, I want y'all to free those who are wrongly imprisoned. So that means it starts with something like what we're doing tonight. We want you to be free because there's a whole bunch of things that we continue to teach through PRF. And we realize that a whole bunch of people have been wrongly imprisoned by their thinking based upon what they've been taught or what that has been preached to in a certain period of time in their life.
Yeah.
Was that not the case, Mama, years ago when we were teaching on tithing for like 3 or 4 months? I've been in this thing for 30 something years, and now I'm just free. I remember that comment vividly. All because we said, let's just look at what the Word of God said. Forget what you say. I hear what you're saying, but if you ain't got no basis, no background for this, I'd rather you just shut up. Because as I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine last night, there are so many people that are being run amok by bad teaching.
Yes.
And not all of it is bad teaching. Some of it is people are doing it out of their heart. They believe what they believe, but it don't mean it's right.
That's true.
So you keep going on in chapter 58 of Isaiah, and after it talks about free those who are wrongly imprisoned, the question I say, well, who is the one that's supposed to free those who are wrongly imprisoned? We talked last week and maybe the week before that those who the Son sets free, S-O-N, capital S, Son, Jesus Christ, those who the Son set free are free indeed. So if God sets you free, then how the heck are you not, don't think that you have the responsibility to set somebody else free? Maybe that's a good reason. Much is given, much required. Maybe that's the reason why so many people are still in bondage financially. Maybe God already knows where their heart is. You know what? If I get free, man, I ain't giving nobody nothing. Have you ever heard somebody say, if I hit the lottery, I'm going on to a desert island? Well, you got folks that's doing that right here in America. Okay.
Yes.
The other thing that God says through the prophet is, lighten the burden of those who work for you. We're talking about freedom, family, and finances. So that means the things that we do should not be putting people in a place of bondage. We should be treating people fairly. And you got to understand this. When God is speaking, saying, lighten the burden of those who work for you, let's deal with this. Work. Serve with you. Lighten the burden. Stop being a taskmaster. But see, you can't be a taskmaster if you're a slave.
That's right.
My goodness, cannot be a taskmaster if you're a slave. And the sad part is, you got some jokers who are slaves that's trying to be taskmasters.
Yes.
Still in verse 6. Still in verse 6. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Here's the thing. If we're going to deal with freedom, then we got to say, what do you need to be free from? You can't let somebody free if you still got a noose around their neck.
Right.
You still are not free if you still got chains around your finger, around your wrist. You're still not going to be able to go far if you still got chains around your feet and your ankles. So you got to understand this thing. It said, let the oppressed go free. So that means you who are in authority, let the people be free. I'm so tired, Mama, of seeing and understanding and knowing and working and serving with people that are financially in bondage. But the ones who have authority are not letting the oppressed go free. It didn't say those of you who had, it didn't, this, listen, God didn't even say you who put them in a place of oppression.
No.
He says, let the oppressed go free. Watch this. How many people come to our churches Sunday after Sunday in an oppressed state of mind? And then they attach themselves with churches and ministries. Guess what? Just because somebody attaches themselves to your church and to your ministries, my brothers and my sisters, doesn't mean that they all of a sudden free.
That's right.
Here's another truth. Everybody that attaches to our ministries, everybody who attaches to our churches, guess what? They don't tell people that they oppressed.
That's right.
Let me go, let me come up in, you know, those of y'all who know me know I got a couple suits that I wear every now and then. But let me come walk up in your church with one of them suits on like I had on today. You're not going to look at Brother Dunlap and say, that brother right there is oppressed. You see me lifting my hands in worship, you're not going to say he's oppressed. Let me tell you, people are suffering in silence.
Yes.
And so when they're suffering in silence, it's hard to remove the chains that bind people if you don't know that the chains are there.
There, yes.
Okay. So let's keep on. Verse 7 in Isaiah 58 says, share the food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Now, there's one more part. There's a fourth line to that verse. But share the food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to the needy. Those who need them. You can take that parallel. If you make talk, if you're writing notes right about now, then you can just go to Matthew 25 and see what Jesus said about feeding the poor, giving water to the thirsty, visiting people who were sick, seeing about those who are imprisoned. But here's the last part. Remember, what is tonight's show about? Helping others to become free.
Yes.
Don't you know when people are hungry, that is also a place of bondage? Don't tell me I'm free when my stomach is growling and I haven't eaten in the last 13 or 14 hours. And you done ate four times with all your snacks and stuff at your job. Don't just tell me I'm free. Because what I'm physically experiencing is bondage.
Right.
If I'm free and I'm struggling, then what does freedom look like? If that's what freedom looks like, then there's something wrong with that picture. Why do I want any part of this and what God is talking about? Oh, no, 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 don't come talking to me about my faith. Right now I'm hungry.
That's right.
How about you give me your food, let me come to your refrigerator and give out all the food out your refrigerator, and then you sit there hungry for 14 to 15 hours.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you still free, brother, because you ain't got nothing to eat, but you still free. Oh, hold on. Let me take the money out your bank account because, see, you can go ahead and go online and call up Domino's Pizza and get something delivered to you. No, no, no. We're going to make sure that you don't have no resources to get any food.
Yeah.
And then tell somebody that they're free. Okay. Give shelter to the homeless. The thing that just burns me up is so many of our churches around the country that ain't doing nothing but sitting there as an empty building. that can be used as a shelter to some homeless folk.
Mm.
God gives to us so that we can help one another. So
yes.
If the only time your church is open is on Sunday morning, not a problem. But what do you do when Dr. Dunlap says, hey, I want to hold a conference on Saturday night? Do you got to have 15 meetings? Do I got to pay you $400? If I'm going to pay you $400, Joker, I'm going to the Holiday Inn. That's my take on it. Because God gave it to you, supposedly. Why can't you just help somebody else? Give clothes to those who need them. We talked about that before. Here's what I want everybody to do. I want everybody after tonight's show or whenever you listen to this show, here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to go into your closet and don't go find the raggedy stuff. Don't go find the sweaters because it's freaking 100 degrees outside, so you ain't wearing it anyway. Don't do that ignorant stuff. I'm telling you, we're breaking down ignorance tonight. Go into your closet. Brother, find some T-shirts. Find some short sleeve shirts. Find some shorts that you can give to somebody else. Now, listen. You let this be between you and God if you know you really don't have anything extra to give. You know what you're looking. But listen, you got 30 pairs of shorts in your closet. It's between you and God what you give. But it says give to those who are having a need. Not just giving to those who have a need so you can take your tax write-off.
Amen. That's good.
Because the people who you give to don't care nothing about your tax write-off. They care about being clothed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last part of verse 7, I told you I was going to bring it up. Fourth part of verse 7 says this. It says, do not hide from your relatives who need your help. What are we talking about tonight, Mama? We're talking about helping others. Become
yeah.
financially free. Let me share this with you. I've said openly to my family members, it's me, Dr. Dunlap, this is what I said. I said openly to my family members, look, what I have that God has given me to give to you, if you reject it, don't come looking nothing for me. If you reject what I already try to give to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, here's the reality. I'm not hiding from any of our relatives, Mama. Any of my relatives that bear the name Dunlap or any of the Dunlaps, the Halls, the Barnetts, and any extended family, anybody that comes and needs help from what God has given me to be able to bless people, I ain't hiding from y'all. But when it gets offered to you, don't go asking man for that very same thing that you've rejected from God. Now watch this. How did you reject it from God? Because when God offered it to you, you said no. See, it kind of reminds me of it's a parallel with Matthew chapter 25 when he said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and on and on. And then he goes down and towards the end of the chapter and says, but when I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me any drink. They said, well, how did we not give you anything to drink? How did we not ever give to you? We didn't see you doing that, but the Bible says that he said, whatever you do to the least of these,
you do unto me.
So watch this. Notice that in verse 7, and I may stop there. In verse 7, when it says share the food with your hungry, it didn't say share it with your family. It didn't say give shelter to your family. It said give shelter to the homeless. It didn't say give clothes to those who live in your household. It said give clothes to those who have need. So it's amazing that God is setting something up theologically. He is setting something up where we are supposed to be thinking about other folks.
Yes.
But somehow in this culture of ours, in a lot of churches, Mama, somehow there's a thing about just taking care of home first.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting to anybody that you don't take care of your home front. But I do recall something that Jesus said in Mark chapter 12. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love your family as yourself. Why didn't he? This is Dunlapism right now. Why in the world did Jesus did not even have to say love your family and then love your neighbor as yourself? Because this would be a given. Taking care of your family, helping your family, that should be a given.
Yeah.
If you are a man, taking care of your responsibilities, your family, that's a given. Can't speak about the woman. You can talk about the women, what y'all supposed to be doing, mama. But I'm speaking my heart out to the men.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Handling your responsibilities as a man is a given. So he ain't had to come. I don't believe he had to come and say that. Because it's a given. But what he was emphasizing was your neighbor.
Yes.
I was reading the commentary, and the commentary said the key to that, mama, and all those other statements about love, we know the type of love that God is talking, that Jesus is talking about in the text, we're talking about agape love.
Yes.
And so this thing is, that means it's not so much about your emotions. This thing has nothing to do with how you're feeling as it does of doing things that have a benefit to somebody else, another person. So if the other person happens to be somebody in my family, that's good. But if it happens to be somebody outside of my family, that's good. So if we're operating in agape love, then we don't have to make a distinction between family and neighbor.
Right. It's good.
This thing is all about having an unselfish concern for other folks. This thing is all about being willing to seek what is the best thing for other people. What is the best thing for somebody else?
You know, it's a scripture that says, I'm just going to paraphrase it, that God is concerned about what we are concerned about. So right there, mm-hmm. that's showing God's unselfishness. And so, and that's just really just a piggyback off of what you were just saying, that we ought to be concerned about others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mama, listen. When Jesus said love your neighbor as yourself, going to Matthew 22, love ye one another. When he said that, he comes behind and says there is no greater commandment than these.
Yes.
So if we're talking about freedom, if we're talking about family, if we're talking about finances, then this love ethic, Jesus' love ethic is wrapped around it, because you can't be bound and truly love somebody, because that people's mindsets can't wrap around. I'm bound. I'm in chains. Because, and I'm gonna tell you how I know this, because I understand and I hear and I'm in communication with folks and listening to how they're talking. So when it comes to doing something for somebody else, man, I got my own problems. Joker, Jokette, you bound, so they can't see any farther than their place of bondage. I'm not downing them, but that's the reality. So if that's the reality, if that's what's running through our churches, if that's what's running through our communities, then we got to doggone deal with what the reality is.
That's right.
I know where faith comes in. I know where belief comes in. I got it. I'm not wavering on any of that. However, when it comes to the reality of what other people, my faith ain't your faith.
That's true.
If you doggone hungry, I can have all the faith in the world. Lord, help his hunger's pains to not be so strong right now as he's hungry. And then I go in my doggone house and I'm eating ribs. What the heck?
Yes.
That doesn't. So it's a commandment that we love one another, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But remember what he said. Let's not get it twisted. He said, there ain't no other commandment is greater than these. I'm sorry, I'm not an English major. I do have a doctorate degree, so I do know that these means more than one.
One, right.
More than one, right?
Yes.
So what's the more than one? More than one goes back to the first commandment. You must love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. If being free financially is everything to do about you, then ain't no way you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. But maybe there's a problem with the love ethic between a person and God first, because if you don't have a love ethic between you and God, then how are you going to live out the one that Jesus said?
Yes, that's right.
So now the question becomes, how do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? We know prayer is part of that. But you got to do some things. How about you do the things that the Bible has said to be more connected with what the Spirit of God wants you to do? Understand that Jesus said, I mean, this love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. So that's back when God spoke to Moses, and this is what he gave to Moses to give to the people. He gave that to the people so they knew how they were supposed to operate when they got into the promised land, Mama.
Yes.
Understand where he gave that to them. He gave that to them when they were in the wilderness. He didn't give them that when they were in the promised land. They were in the wilderness. But you got to understand this. When they gave it to them in the wilderness, that means they were already out of bondage, physical bondage. And so since they were already out of the physical bondage, they're in this place of the wilderness. So there's some people that may be listening. You may just be in a place of wilderness. There's some other folks that's in a place of bondage. So you can't operate and do certain things in bondage if you're supposed to be in the wilderness.
Yes.
Certain things you can't operate in the wilderness when it's supposed to be things that are supposed to be operating in the promised land. So my prayer for everybody listening is that you find out where you at. Lord, show me, am I in bondage right now to X, Y, and Z? Am I in bondage to my spending? Am I in bondage to credits? Am I in bondage to credit cards? Am I in bondage to this 30-year mortgage? Am I in bondage to this house that you told me not to get, but I got it anyway? The car that I purchased that I didn't have the money to, but they would give it to me because they don't care. Are you in bondage to student loan debt because you had to go to the $50,000 a year school when you could have went to the $20,000 a year school and had no student loan debt when you got out? So somehow God needs for people to really focus down and hunker down on that Mark chapter 12 or go to Matthew 22, whichever one you want to use, because that right there is key and is critical, Mama.
Yes.
There's another one. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, look up Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, Mama.
Okay. Come on, man. Okay.
While you're doing that, I'm going to bring up what I brought up at the beginning of the hour, Mama. Bring it up again. How long will you let others suffer in silence? And then how long will you suffer? The reality is God wants you to be free. He doesn't want any of us, because he loves us. He doesn't want us to be in bondage to our finances. So if any of us are in bondage to our finances, then you have to grapple with that question. How long are you going to suffer? If you have the means and the resources and the ability and the wisdom and the knowledge of God to help somebody not to be in bondage financially, but as long as you're good, then you just as in bondage as the person who doesn't have the physical resources. Go ahead, Mama.
Okay. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Wow. And it says, let brotherly love continue. So that's constantly, you're constantly loving, unconditional, just like God loves us. No matter what we do, he loves us. It never stops. And when he says continue, because if it stops, then we're not going to be concerned about if someone needs something to eat or someone's hungry. It doesn't really matter, because God is love, and he operates out of love. And that's why he's telling us here to continue in love, no matter how you're treated, whatever is going on, just because this person hurt another person's feelings, that's okay. God will deal with that. You just continue to love them and help them. If they need water, just go ahead and give them the drink of water, no matter how they treat you. And then it says, but be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Because, again, when it was told, and Matthew was saying, you know, what you're doing to others, you're doing to me. So if I see a stranger and I know that they, you know, they need some help, and I don't want to help them because of the way they look or the way they smell. See, he's letting me know you don't know who you're saying no to because, see, and then he gives us, as I said before, that scripture to back that up. And then he said, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. See, it always goes back to this helping. Unconditional, because you don't know. And then it says, remember them that are in bonds, because we can just see our neighbor, again, loving your neighbor. You can look at your neighbor and see sometimes that they do have a need, and they'll never say anything to you, but some of people's needs are you can see them. And if a person's in a position to help them, we need to just go on ahead and help them. Although they're not saying they have that need, you know they have that need. You can see that they have a need, or you can see that, gee, you know, their children need some shoes. You know, they're not asking or whatever. Or they maybe say, you know, you really wear nice clothes, you know. And then you're seeing that they're dressing their children, but they're doing the best that they can. So you know that they need help. And so, and what God is saying, just love, because just do it because you love me. Just do it because I put the love in you, and all we have to do is just stir it up. You know, we have to have a desire to want to help. Like you said, helping others, having all the knowledge, and all of that means nothing if it's just for me, myself, and I. I'm to reach out. Mm-hmm. You know, we say we have reach out ministries, but who are they reaching out to? Are they reaching out at all? So we're supposing, you know, what comes into mind too, that God can use, he uses us to bless people here on this earth. He uses us. And so we're his hands. And so, you know, that's why he says, whatever you find your hand to do, do it. Because he can tell me to give someone a drink of water. So he's expecting for me, his expectation of me is to know. If I do know that I can help someone and give them a glass of water instead of saying, you know, I have something to do right now, I'll go back and do it later. No, the person needs water now when you're thirsty, and I know when I'm thirsty, I want something to drink right away. So how about someone else that I know that is thirsty? They want something to drink too. It's just showing that love that you have for that person and that concern that you're really concerned about the person. And as you have spoken earlier about people, you know, say, you know, I'm going to pray for you, you know. Or you want to ask them, are you saved? Or do you know Jesus? You know, no, this, right now the person needs you to show them love. And love is an action word. It's giving. It's giving. You know, when I used to evangelize in the street and I would see people, you know, I would just, you know, go up to them and just give them a hug and they would just say, thank you. I mean, they just want to be loved. And so this is showing, you know, we say we love God, then he says it's an action word. Show me that you love me through how you're blessing others, through the gifts and the talents that I have given you. Amen.
You said something that really just struck home with me, Mama. You said we have to have a desire. You have to have a desire to want to help others become financially free. Listen, I know that some of you who are listening, you have your own things going on. Guess what? Every last one of us has something going on. A lot of people are suffering in silence, so you don't know what other folks have going on, regardless of what it looks like on the outside. But yet, even in what we're dealing with on the inside or behind closed doors, we're still helping. None of us have it all together here at PRF, but we're still helping.
Amen.
I mean, that's just the reality
Wow.
to it. So,
Amen.
but my heart's desire for all of you who are listening and all those who are connected to you who are listening is how long will you let others suffer in silence? Like you just said, Mama, people know that there's things going on with people and they're not saying anything about it. Well, you know, the enemy knows how to grab a hold to things that you're hiding from somebody else, like because of pride or because of shame or because of guilt, you know, those root cause indicators. And so the enemy is good at just playing those things back over and over into people's minds so that they never say, I need help. So that, again, that goes back to the second question. How long will you suffer? I know we're here to help, and I know there's others around this country that are here to help. But you will suffer less. You may get the freedom that you need right now if you just open up your mouth and say, I need some help. Mama, I've been dealing with people with credit issues for the last year now. I'm just talking about it has been bananas. And so many of our young people, that's probably where some of what we had talked about last week came into effect. So many of our young people have no clue. No clue. Using credit, but don't have any idea how it works.
That's right. That's correct.
Because of confidentiality and because of my religious ethics, there's some things that I can't say about what's going on with people. Even if I just bring them up in some of the case studies. Because some of them will be so very clear that you would know who some of these people are. Especially if I told you what community it was coming from. Or what they did for a living. But I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of people that are suffering in silence. And if those of us who God has anointed and called to deal with this don't come together to create a more larger and a more robust force, because at the end of the day, this is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
I can tell you all day long, your credit is jacked up. I can tell you that all day long. I can tell you need to get your credit straight. But if you don't do it, then maybe that's an indication that there's some spiritual warfare going on that's called the spirit of procrastination.
Yes.
I know some people that won't even put a will in place because they don't want certain people to get what it is that they have. So they rather have other people just fight about it. Y'all just, and I've heard this out of people's mouth. I don't care what happens to them. Let them fight over it. What?
Yes.
And listen, if I told you that was your pastor that said that, how you gonna feel about him or her after that?
That's right.
Oh no, well he's you know, he or she they've preached. I've been here for the last 5 years. The sermons have been on point. Look at what you're following though. Because they have an opportunity to be able to help somebody else become financially free. Folks don't want to leave life insurance, don't even want to get life insurance. You don't want anybody what? Here's what I want everybody, I'm giving out all these scriptures because this is what God has given me, and I'm about done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or some of us, you may know, not know, but that's fine. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about the gifts, talks about how everybody has one, talks about how God has given the gifts to the church. He also talks about the people gifts. He doesn't give all of them. He only gives apostle, prophets, and teachers in chapter 12. I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's not until you get over into Ephesians that you see what's called the fivefold ministry. So, but he only talks about apostles, prophets, and teachers. But something that he said before then is very, very key. He talks about how we're all part of one body.
Yes. Yes.
He talks about how everybody has a function in the body.
Yes.
So I need people to understand this. I believe this is where some understanding that God wishes people would get. This is what I believe. That you have to understand the body is not your church. So how about stop with that foolishness? Because you're not a body as a church. Because everything in your church, you don't have all the pieces to make your church operate. If that's the case, you wouldn't be doing fish dinners and selling fish dinners and chicken dinners. And you wouldn't have to do car wash. You would have the resources that you need to do all the ministry things that you do. But a lot of churches don't. So how the heck are you going to call yourself a body?
That's good.
All you are is a part of the body. Once you become the body, all bets is off. All bets are off. Because now what happens is you don't see the need for another part of the body. Nobody says, I wish I had six fingers. I got five. I can pick up things. I can move things. I can do things. I can write. I can tie my shoe. Why I need another finger? Nobody says, give me three legs. I'm healthy. I'm walking. I can run. I can jump. I can drive. Press the brake. Press the pedal. Nobody says, give me a third leg.
It becomes a hindrance.
Because they don't, extra stuff becomes a hindrance because the body is complete.
Yes.
But the reality is with the body of Christ, you can't see the completion of the body of Christ because you can't see the whole body.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do we help others become financially free? One, realize that you don't have it all and you need other people's help. See, I know sometimes I play on the titles, but I need everybody to understand helping others to become financially free doesn't mean that you got all the things, all of the things in place to help other folks. That means you may only have one portion of what's needed to be able to help somebody become financially free.
You're right.
You may be doing very well with giving, but you can't do nothing to help somebody become financially free because their credit is jacked up and you don't have any idea on how to help somebody in that area. But watch this. If what you do is only press and put the importance on the giving piece, then those people continue to suffer in silence. Those individuals continue to sit across the desk from me. Those individuals continue to file for bankruptcy. Those individuals continue to go to consumer credit counseling places. They continue to go to the title pawn people. They continue not to be able to have money to bury their loved ones. And they sign a note saying, I'll pay the $8,000, $10,000 for the casket. So nobody else knows that daddy or mama didn't have life insurance. They're suffering in silence. So speaking of suffering, if you go into, now think about what I've been talking about from 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm about done. Verse 26 is critical, mama. It's critical because, and let me tell you before I read it, I'm going to tell you what verse 27 said. Verse 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it. Let no man think more of himself.
Right.
And then in verse 28 it says, here are some, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. So when he says here are some, and he lists apostles, first apostles, then second are prophets, and third are teachers, and that means there's a whole bunch more. There's at least one more, because he says some, they didn't say all of them. So you can't believe just because you have a title in front of your name, I don't care whether it's doctor, pastor, apostle, or teacher, or I don't care what it is, doesn't mean that you have everything within you.
Amen.
And God has appointed those of us who he's given those specific callings of, such as a pastor, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those that God has called are a gift to the church. Now watch this. It's not a gift to your church. Just because I'm there doesn't mean I'm just a gift to your church. I'm a gift to the kingdom, to the body of Christ. So that means if I have to go and help others in another church, then I go help others in another church. And please, pastors, leaders, stop getting mad about stuff like that. Because they don't belong to you. Nobody in that church belongs to you. They belong to God. And whatever God has given to the church, he's given it to the church for the body of Christ, not for one individual church, unless that's your assignment. And just because you get an assignment doesn't mean your assignment is forever.
Amen.
So I'm going back now. I'm going back now to verse 26. As you brought up suffering, Mama, if one part of the body suffers, all of the parts of the body suffer with it. And if one part of the body is honored, all of the parts of the body are honored. If one part of the body rejoices, all of the parts of the body rejoice. So we're talking tonight about helping others become financially free. How long will you let others suffer in silence? How long will you suffer in silence? If my brother, if my neighbor is suffering, then that means I'm suffering. If my neighbor is happy, if my neighbor is rejoicing because some of the blessings of God has come upon his or her life, then I'm supposed to rejoice with them. But there evidently has to be a breakdown if you're suffering and I'm sitting over here happy as if you're not suffering. Because if everybody who is not suffering personally goes to their little corner and all the ones who are suffering are in their corner, where's the help? See, you can't help anybody if you don't recognize the suffering of somebody else. So if somebody is not financially free, unless you can recognize that they are financially in bondage, then why the heck are you going to even help them in the first place?
Right, because they don't.
You don't.
Because far.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say far as. Go ahead.
No, go, please.
Oh, I was going to say if you don't see that the person has a need. Have a need, then why would you even think about helping them? Because you don't see it. You don't even recognize it, you know? And then we have to want to also, you know, we can't give what we don't have. So if I want to help someone, then I'm going to have to examine myself and say, gee, I am in bondage in this particular area because I can see that someone is in bondage in a certain area. Because, you know, it's just today I was just looking at a show and I was criticizing the person in the show. And then it just dawned on me, you know, it's so easy to sit back and look at somebody else who can see something. It's so easy to do that. But then how about examining myself and say, you know, I'm going through the same thing. So maybe I need to find out more and start to, you know, if I'm a shopper and I've heard PRF, been on the show and heard it over and over again, well, you know, I think, oh, I see my sister suffering here. Oh, she just shop all the time. And I'm criticizing her shopping. But, you know, you shop too all the time. So that can be an incentive for me to say, if I want to help my sister, and since we are together, let me say, no, I can't afford to go shopping. No, that's not in my budget. So be a model for her, see? I'll be an example for her to see, Marianne don't shop? You know, I have to get me another shopping buddy. You know? So we have to also be an example to people because they might not have ever, like it says, a lot of us are not raised up, you know, being taught finances and be supposed, we just don't know it. Our parents didn't know it, so they can only give us what we have, you know, but those of us that do have it, we have we can't just know it and speak it, but don't be a doer of it, because then it won't help the people that are around us, because they, you know, we're saying one thing, but they're seeing our behavior is not lining up with what we're saying.
You lifted up a question and something that you said, Mama, and that's this. Can you help somebody? Can you help someone else when you don't have? Now, a lot of people believe, I'm telling you, we are breaking it tonight. A lot of people believe that they can't help others when they don't have themselves. A lot of that comes with your own understanding and what you are looking at in what you believe that you have. You'd be surprised how many times we're doing our PRF lessons on different courses and people believe they don't have, and we're showing folks you have more than you think you have. Now, I don't know that, but we got to be able to find it. If you say you don't have anything, then let's start talking. Let's have a conversation. Let's move into a dialogue. Let's put some things on paper. And if after doing all that, it's, you know what, this cat don't have nothing but the clothes on his back, then you got a true statement. But oftentimes, there's not been one time, Mama, over 8 years, that somebody who said they didn't have anything actually did have something.
Right.
And it may not be everything, but watch out. Watch how in 2 Kings chapter 4, one of our foundational scriptures for PRF, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, the widow woman believes she ain't have nothing. What does she respond to the prophet? All I have, I don't have nothing but this flask of oil. I don't have nothing but this Crisco can. But that Crisco can, and coupled with those who were willing to help her to become financially free and not even realizing that they were providing to her for her to become financially free of her debt, of the debt that she accumulated, not her debt, the debt that she accumulated through her husband, who probably got those debts to be able to help take care of the family. The people around her, I don't even know if the people around her, if there was even any time where the neighbor that she borrowed these jars from, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, go look it up later. I don't even know from reading the text if there was a whole bunch of other conversation with her neighbor saying, look, let me explain to you what's going on. And all I know is it says she went and asked from her neighbor and her neighbor gave.
And
they were willing participants. So in order to help others become financially free, like you said, you have to have a desire to give. And then you have to, I will say, you have to move and act on that desire.
Yes.
You have to act and you have to move on it. So can you help somebody? Listen to me. This should be freedom to a whole bunch of people. Yes, you can help others when you think that you don't really have anything to help. See, somebody may come to you and say, I need some help. I need $200 for a light bill. Well, you know, if all I feel in my heart to do is to give you 10, then I gave you 10. And I may only have 25, but I gave you 10.
Yes.
A worldly mindset is, that ain't nothing. What's $10 going to do to a $200 bill? Let me tell you, can I tell you what it's going to do? It's going to trip y'all out. This is very profound. You know what it's going to do, Mama?
I'm listening.
It's going to make that bill $190.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't have to go to seminary for that wisdom. Everything that goes into that makes it less. So that means when that person was bound by that $200 debt, now if they're still bound, they're only bound by $190 debt. I tell one of the things I teach people when we're teaching on credit and debt of first cousins is, let's say somebody has some negative debt, negative credit, and they have 5 or 6 different collections on their credit report. And one of them is $26, another one is $40, another one is $50, another one is $200, another one is $3,000. I didn't make this up. This is what God gave me. And I know other folks who may have received the same wisdom I'm about to give to you. Here go another good one right here. You got five person has 5 debts. Pay off the lowest one. Pay off that $20-something debt. And so, see, when the enemy wants to come back and beat you up about you still being in debt, want to beat you up that you can't go on cruise right now with your girlfriend or your homeboy who's about to go on a cruise or take vacation. You can't do this because you don't have the money or because you don't have any credit cards because you maxed out. Then here's what you can respond back to that evil joker. I had 5 debts, but now I only got 4.
Amen.
What we're saying is things that can help you help others become financially free.
Yes.
A lot of it is practical, but it's coming through a spiritual application through practical application. They're working in concert with one another. They're working hand in hand.
Yes.
And I think we're going to get ready to stop here. So let me stop on this note, Mom. Helping others become financially free, I will tell you, that if it's somebody who is bound, then we know love conquers all. Love covers a multitude of sin. I believe this in 1 Peter. Covers a multitude of sin. If I'm wrong, then somebody correct me in love. But love covers a multitude of sin. I know that's the scripture, right?
Right.
But let's go also to 1 Corinthians 13. We were just in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Because what's said? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wronged or being wrong. It doesn't rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up.
Amen.
Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. And I would go to verse 13, the last verse of the chapter. These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is love.
Yes.
It says the greatest of these, but faith and hope and charity all are, as I would say, their cousins or their next door neighbors. But the greatest is love.
Love, yes.
So it's not like faith is not important. It's not that hope is not important. But if we're going to operate in love, then we got to be dealing with the hope. We got to be dealing with the faith. So let's help others by operating with our faith, but also helping people to be able to have hope.
Yes.
And so then I go back to verses 11 through 12. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought in reasons as a child. But when I grew up, I put away my childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. That's humility. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows them or knows me completely. So at some point in time, I'm gonna be complete on some things.
Yes.
But being complete on some things does not mean that you have everything throughout life in order.
Right.
Mama, last words. I'm done. Last words, comments, Mama, before we go ahead and sign off for tonight.
Just ask God. People, we all have gone through some things in our lives that have affected us, and to be negative about helping others. We could have been conned or whatever. But because now that we're here and hearing about love, then we ask God to help us, to forgive those that have wronged us and ask him to help to give us a desire to help others. Because sometimes we're just nice and people just kind of, take our kindness for weakness, and then, you get hard and you don't want to do anything to help people, But now we're here and, God is loving, so we're operating out of love. And then we're all, and I'm sure we are at different levels because we've all gone through some pain and suffering, and betrayal and things of that nature. But now, because it's faith is now that we have some understanding here, about how God loves unconditional, then we can begin to say, God, I want to love people unconditional, no matter what they have done to me. And I need you to help me. I want to have a desire to help people in spite of how they've treated me. And then, then God will come in and he will help. Because, see, he doesn't go over our will. We have to desire to want to help. Because we, Dr. Dunlap said, we all gone through some things that make us to be, we end up being very cold towards people and their needs, But, see, now, hey, we have learned some things here. And it's such a blessing to give, and it gives us a peace to see that, hey, I was a little, I had something to do with this person getting, where they are now in their life. You hear reports of teachers who some of their students were doctors and lawyers now You know what I mean? They're like 89, some 100. And they can say, yes, I taught him when he was in the fourth grade. That makes them feel proud that it was just a little part of being of helping that person to be successful. So this is how we want to be. We want to be a part of people's lives to see them be successful and to be and get out of bondage and to be free, you know, the way God wants us to be. That's his design for us, not to be in bondage. But we, again, I emphasize, we must desire these things. Amen.
Wow. That's you said a mouthful, Mama, and we so appreciate that. And I pray that people take what has been said tonight and just go run with it. Again, tonight we're talking about helping others to become financially free. We talked a lot about love tonight. We know that love is something that is going to help all of us get to the places where God wants us to go. It's going to be the thing that's going to drive us, that should be driving us. And so I want you to just, for one, I really want everybody to just continue to come back, continue to ride with us here on the PRF table as we continue in this month through this series that we're dealing with. Freedom, family, and finances. We're looking to try to help you to be able to do things where your family is in a much better place than it was before you listened to the series. Come back again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to just dig a little bit deeper. However God leads us, you'll be able to go onto our website, prfministry.org, and you'll be able to see whatever God has for us on next week within a couple of days. But we want to make sure we also let you know about tomorrow. Tomorrow, as we have every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the wonderful Kimberly Silas, who will be back for her second show. The show is called Your Health is Your Wealth. And if you did not listen to the show on the first Thursday of this month, or excuse me, the first Friday of this month, we encourage you to go to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, and you'll be able to see and listen to that show, or you can catch it through our website, prfministry.org. All I'm going to tell you about tomorrow is this, is when you come at 2 p.m. on tomorrow, you're going to get some information, you're going to get a blessing, because Sister Kimberly knows what she's talking about when it comes to your health is your wealth. And so she has a lot of things that she has put into the pipeline to be able to go ahead and make sure that she is blessing the people. She is giving of herself, and PRF is a platform that she has accepted to be able to do that. So again, 347-215-7934 is the telephone number that you'll use tomorrow at 2 p.m. every first and third Friday. So again, tomorrow, call in, listen to what Sister Kimberly has to offer to you, and we will see you back here on the PRF table next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Send us an email, admin@prfministry.org. If there's some topics that you would like for us to cover, if there's some things that you're dealing with, trust me, we understand. We know that you like to keep your business to yourself, but we want you to not suffer in silence. We want you to reach out. And so with that, God bless you, and we want to just tell you that we love you. Peace.